Thank you for being here. Are you happy to be here?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to try one more time. Let's garner all the enthusiasm. Are you happy to be here?
Yes.
Amen. All right. The reading this morning is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, which we were focusing on last week, a continuation of that lesson from the Matthew's Gospel, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, a city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." The words of Jesus, the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now let me start by sharing with you the two main points of the sermon that you're about to hear. First, you are only responsible for your own behavior. And second, you are responsible for your own behavior. Both are important and both are equally true. Christianity, this movement started by Jesus, has, shall we say, a checkered past. The followers of Jesus were called to be the light of the world, and at times those bearing his name, Christians, have been just that. It is hard to imagine what the world would be like if these Christians had not taken the words of Jesus seriously. Hospitals, nursing homes, orphanages, and colleges were founded by those who understood that they were to be the light of the world. Benevolent charities provide humanitarian aid and relief to the people of this planet in the name of Jesus. Such charitable work has been foundational to Christianity for 2,000 years. You should remember that it was the charitable work of Christians that won over the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire that persecuted Christians for hundreds of years was ultimately conquered not by the sword, but by love. This strange love of neighbor, caring for those who offered nothing in return. This charity was so remarkable that Rome was taken by a foot-washing Christian army armed only with a towel and basin. Charity. It was the light of charity that attracted the masses to Jesus and the church. Now at Trinity Lutheran Church, we partner with outstanding charities locally and internationally. We are more efficient when we work together. We do our part by sharing our resources generously. The charities then provide their expertise, supply chains, staffing, and volunteers who help alleviate the suffering of others. And close to home, right here on Whidbey Island, we work in concert with Good Cheer and Helping Hand. Both of these charitable organizations were founded by Christians here on the island. And the same could be said for the local Habitat for Humanity. The first meeting of that local Habitat for Humanity took place right here in our building. You see, we are better when we work together. This truth is even more apparent when we think globally. We could not have gone to Bihar, India, without the help of Lutheran World Relief. On our own, we cannot help the victims of natural disasters to recover and to rebuild. We need the ELCA disaster response team and their partners to efficiently provide needed resources. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to God. Do you recognize those words? They are a part of our baptismal liturgy. We offer that encouragement and that admonition to the newly baptized. We light a baptismal candle and we offer it to them as a gift and a reminder of their calling, a calling to follow Jesus, a calling to do good in the world. You see, those who are baptized are called to let their light so shine before others that they may see their good works and give glory to God. It is part and parcel of what it means to follow the one who washed feet, touched lepers, and fed the hungry. You are only responsible for your own behavior, but you are responsible for your own behavior. Christianity has a checkered past. We have often been on the wrong side of history. We have been seduced by power and riches. Now, the church became powerful and wealthy ultimately, not all at once. First, it had to survive persecution, and then it was wed to the Roman Empire. A marriage between poverty and riches, a blessed union between the powerful and the powerless. And as a result, the church became powerful, and the church became wealthy, and then the church spent much of its energy trying to preserve that power and wealth, at times much more interested in the survival of the institution than the poor and hungry they were called to serve. Powerful and wealthy, the church soon had armies to protect itself. Now, the Crusades had nothing to do with Jesus. The Crusaders were mostly illiterate and superstitious. They lived in the squalor of the Middle Ages, and they were destined to die young, and they knew it. So going to battle with the promise of a better life in the next world, that seemed like a pretty good deal to peasants who had no chance in this world. And those who carried the name of Jesus into battle with the Muslim, well, they had never really met Jesus themselves. They could not read the Bible. And the only Jesus that they knew was shrouded in superstition and fear. The Crusades had nothing to do with Jesus. They were all about power and greed and racism, the manipulation of the poor to fight the battles of the rich and powerful. Yes, the church was on the wrong side of history. In fact, history tells us that the Muslim leaders in the Crusades acted more like Jesus than those who came to conquer in his name. The church has often been on the wrong side of history. At one time, the church of Jesus owned 1/3 of all the land in Western Europe. Power, position, wealth led inevitably to greed and the never-ending quest to protect that position and power and wealth. The church has often been on the wrong side of history. Now, let me be very clear here. You are not responsible for the Crusades. You are only responsible for your own behavior. You bear no guilt or responsibility for things that happened before you were even born. But having said that, the church has often been on the wrong side of history. Think about it for a minute. Good Christian people and churches supported the Inquisition and slavery and segregation and apartheid. And the church was on the wrong side of history 80 years ago, beguiled and seduced by the power of the Nazi regime. And it didn't end there. Good Christian people opposed the ordination of women and the inclusion of gays and lesbians in the life of the church. The church was wrong in its approach to the victims of suicide and their families. We mistreated those who were born out of wedlock and those who were divorced. The church was complicit and benefited from New World atrocities, the conquering of South and Central America, and the treatment of Native Americans here in North America. And in 2020, the church is once again in danger of being on the wrong side of history. It happens whenever we are more worried about power than the poor. It happens slowly when we take our eyes off of Jesus and are seduced by the power brokers of this world. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to God. Arm yourselves with a towel and a basin. You are only responsible for your own behavior, but you are responsible for your own behavior. Now, the generations coming up, those younger than most of us in the room today, the generations coming up are skeptical of the church, and for good reason. They do not trust an organization that has been rocked by sex scandals, the misappropriation of funds that were meant for the poor, and the extravagant living of TV preachers. The generations coming up will not affiliate with an organization that is intolerant of their gay and lesbian friends, judgmental of others, or filled with hate for those who look or act differently than them. The generations coming up are skeptical of the Church of Jesus, and for good reason. Our track record is sketchy and inconsistent. We sometimes say one thing and we do another. The Church of Jesus must not lose sight of Jesus. The followers of Jesus need to follow Jesus, not an institution, not a flag, not a political party. And yet it was just 2 weeks ago when we looked at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And the first thing that he did was to invite others to follow him, to come along, to experience a new way of living, to freely lavish grace on others, to join the party. You see, there are no solo acts in God's equation. Even Jesus did not go alone. No, we are called to be a part of something because we are better together and we need each other. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify God. You know, the Bible speaks about this in the book of James. It says, what good is it if someone says that they have faith but does not have works? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. Now, to be very clear, good works cannot save you, but good works might save your neighbor's life or make the world a better place. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to God. Yes, we are only responsible for our own behavior, but we are responsible for our own behavior. Now, this lesson, this teaching of Jesus, speaks to us as a congregation gathered together, but it also speaks to us personally. First of all, as a congregation, mine is the church where everybody's welcome. Well, I got to tell you, folks, every church will say that. Mine is a church where everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome, but we prefer those of Northern European descent. Everyone's welcome, but we prefer that you dress in a certain way. We prefer that the organ plays sacred music written mostly by white men hundreds of years ago. We prefer a certain decorum when we are in church. Do not be interrupting the preacher by saying, praise the Lord. There'll be no praising the Lord in the Lutheran church. Besides, we're just trying to get through this. Don't encourage him to keep going. Mine is a church where everybody's welcome, but we prefer children to be seen, not heard. We prefer Lutherans, but other mainline denominations may be tolerated. Mine is a church where everybody's welcome. We prefer that you are straight, but perhaps we won't ask, and if you just keep quiet about it, that'll be okay. Mine is a church where everybody's welcome if you vote for Democrats, or if you believe as we believe, or if you don't ask too many questions and don't want to change anything, because we don't really like change a lot around here. You see, every church has to decide if they will follow the one who ate with known sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes, or will they become a country club, a gathering of achievers? Yes, every church has to decide if they own the church or if they just work here. Are we the host, or do we simply work for the host? Did Jesus really ask us to screen potential members or to decide who should be on the guest list for the party that he's throwing? Should everyone be invited to the table of Holy Communion, or is it up to us to decide if they measure up to our standards? Mine is a church where everybody's welcome. And what does this mean for me, this lesson today? What does it mean for us personally? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, it has something to do with claiming our place as those who are called to be the light of the world. And it has something to do with letting our light shine so that others would see our good works and give glory to God in heaven. You see, my friends, there's a lot of different things that light can do. Light not only casts out darkness, light also attracts those who have been languishing in darkness. Remember, it was the light of love that won over the Roman Empire. Light, true light, attracts others. Good works, good lives, good people, honest people, no pretense, broken people, saint and sinners at the same time, no room for self-righteousness or pride in this place. After all, Christianity is just one beggar telling another where to find bread. But if we follow Jesus, if we love our neighbors, if we model forgiveness, toleration, and humility and grace, then we will attract others to the light. And we can do so much more if we do it together. You are only responsible for your own behavior. So guess what? You should quit trying to control the behavior of others. You are only responsible for your own behavior. So temper your expectation when it comes to others. Do not expect others to fit into your mold. And your children and your grandchildren, guess what? They're going to make their own life choices just like you did. You don't have to approve of their lifestyle choices. Just love them as they are. You are responsible for your own behavior. And make no mistake about it, every act matters. Every interaction with another human matters. Do they see the light in you? Do they see Jesus in you? Can you be maybe a little more patient, a little more kind, a little more tolerant? Can you forgive? This starts at home. And it starts today. It's about the people you live with. It's about the people you work with. It's also about the people that you share Highway 525 with every time you drive. And it's about young people with baggy pants and colored hair. And it's about people of color and the long-held prejudices that we are carrying. You are responsible for your own behavior. So let your light so shine before others that they will see your good works to the glory of God. And a final word, God gave you whatever light you have that you might share it with others. Share that light, your talent, your voice, your compassion, your ability to write cards to shut-ins, the money that you have accumulated. Do not hide your light under a bushel basket. Do not hoard your light in a safe place. No, let your light so shine before others that they will see the glory of God. And if we don't do that, we are likely to end up on the wrong side of history. Now, I don't expect everybody here today to like this sermon, so let me save you some time. Follow Jesus, my friends, you are not responsible for everyone's behavior, but you are responsible for your own. Thanks be to God.